Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Adam McManus, our host on theworldview.com, is with us today. And we've got good news, bad news when it comes to government. Now, of course, the good news from the outset, Adam, is that Jesus reigns. He's on the right hand of the Father. He's far above all principalities and powers. He's already conquered death and the devil at the cross. The powers of darkness have been defeated. And he is over all things to the church. So lots of positive news today on the Generations broadcast. Lots of good news.
I love how you start out. This is not Fox News, to be sure.
No, this is not Fox News. And we acknowledge Christ on our worldview.com. And, you know, we just don't want people to get the impression as they hear the news that somehow these are just random events happening in a chance universe. And we don't want them to get the impression that man is in control of everything that's going on. And that seems to be the underlying assumption constantly that we're faced with the national media. And with most of the public schools, it seems as if this naturalistic, materialistic, humanistic worldview, either it's just a chance universe or man is in control, one or the other. So it tends to flip-flop from one perspective to the other. Sometimes everybody thinks that man is in control of everything that happens in the ultimate sense. And sometimes people just believe these are random events in a causeless universe and we're just, you know, all hyper-advanced cosmic slime. And eventually some meteorite or asteroid is going to destroy the Earth and it's going to be all over for all of us. And there wasn't really any meaning or purpose for life on planet Earth for the 6,000 or 10,000 years we were there. So that seems to be the worldview that is taught. And yet, you know, what we want is an acknowledgement of God. We want people to remember that God is in control of all of this.
You know, it's comforting to even hear you say it. I am probably fairly typical of the generation's listener. I'm getting increasingly stressed out by looking at the news. I used to love going on Drudge Report and Fox News and checking out what's happening in the world. But man, it just seems like the cycle of bad news has increased at such an amazing rate that it just becomes depressing and almost stressful. And so I have to limit my exposure to it. I have to make sure I'm in the Word. I have to make sure I'm spending not just quality, but quantity time with my wife and children, getting exercise, eating right. Those things are important, getting enough sleep, because otherwise I think people tend toward despair, including Christians.
Well, two problems. One problem is the socialist mentality is that whatever is going on in government, whatever government's doing is the end all and be all of all that's going on in the world. You know, whatever Trump did is the only thing that happened in the universe last night. And it just seems to me that we need to get out of the socialist mentality. Okay, yeah, government makes up, you know, 5% of life, but what about the other 95%? What about what's going on in our families? Exactly. What's about going on in our churches? We had a wonderful time last night with all of the local evangelical churches gathered for a prayer meeting. It was one of the most outstanding, one of the most reviving, awakening moments in Christianity that I've experienced in 58 years or whatever I am. What am I? 56? I'm 56, sorry. 56 years of my life.
You just had a birthday. You should know
this. I forget, though. It's been a few days. All right. So, yeah, lots of good things going on. So the good news, bad news. Yeah, there's bad news, but there's good news. Kind of reminds me a little bit of that. I can't remember the way that thing went, but, you know, the guy falls out of the airplane. Well, that's the bad news. But the good news, he had a parachute. Bad news, you know, it didn't open. The good news is, you know, he fell into some straw. The bad news is the pitchfork in the straw. The good news, he missed the pitchfork.
Oh, no.
The bad news, you know, and you've heard that. It goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
No, I haven't.
It's a great little stick that somebody does. Anyway, you know, that's the way life is. There's the good news, bad news.
Yes.
But the good news is that, you know, all things work together for good, that God is sovereign. And even the bad things that we thought were bad turn out to be good because God is able to turn all these things to his will.
Well, for example, with COVID, shutting down a lot of these abortion mills and shutting down all the homosexual pride marches. That's some great
that's
news
incredible.
Coming out of COVID.
That's incredible. Yeah. And think about all of the church revivings that are going. One of the reasons why we have such a revival going on in our county right now is because of COVID-19. I mean, we just, you know, we responded by prayer. We responded by church unity. We responded by all the denominational walls falling down. And with one heart, one voice, a united front, we're praying for revival for our county. And I think that's happening. We're seeing signs of it in our local churches. So lots of good things going on. And the other thing is that, you know, 60 million homeschoolers now, up from, what, 3 million 2 months ago. That's a huge increase. You go from 3 million to 60 million. That's a movement, man.
And it's creating all kinds of fascinating conversations. We live in a kind of a cookie cutter neighborhood with a little dinky 5 foot deep pool. And one of the mothers was complaining about how overwhelmed she was by the homeschooling of her child and juggling it all. And my wife, who is a homeschooler in the traditional sense, said, you know, it's not exactly apples to apples in terms of a comparison, because we get to choose our curriculum and we're not having to jump through the hoops of the teachers and do all these Zooms. So there's a lot less stress in a traditional homeschool setting, but people certainly are getting a taste of having their kids around them more and being responsible firsthand and taking care of their education.
Well, the most comforting thing of all is that, you know, God is in control. Jesus is over all things, and everything's going to be for the benefit of his church. And so we're seeing this. We see it with the homeschool exemption that happened with the pretty hardcore draconian legislation involving immunizations in the state of Colorado, but homeschoolers exempted from it. We're going to do a program on that shortly, but that's good news. Good news that, you know, God exempts us. And he's done that, by the way, multiple times in the state of Colorado over, say, 25 years I've been involved with the Christian home educators here in this state. It's incredible. Almost every time some family unfriendly bill that would curtail family freedoms, parental rights in this state, they have passed the legislation very often and cranked down controls on families across the state. But the homeschoolers have been exempted time after time after time. I can't even count the numbers of times that we've been in the legislative chambers. We've been up in the governor's office begging for an exemption. And almost, I think, without exception, we have received exemptions over and over and over. What I call the island of freedom for Christians, for families, for those who are committed to freedom, has been provided and well defended over 20 years of my involvement in the civil magistrate here in this state. And I can tell you, it's affected a lot of the other states across the United States as well. So that's the good news. The good news is that homeschoolers have been exempted from the incredibly draconian controls that seem to be descending upon the nuclear family across this country. But the bad news, at least for the time being, is the U.S. Supreme Court decision that came down Monday forbidding employers from firing employees on the basis of lifestyle of homosexuality or an attempt to change their gender appearance. It came down by a vote of 6-3, something of a shocker for Christians and conservatives across this country. Again, it was a 6-3 vote to curtail private property rights and heavily regulate Christian businesses, conservative businesses across this country. We're going to discuss more on that in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Stay with us. Hello, dads. Come this August, it'll be about time to get out of the house and up into the clear mountain air of the Colorado Rockies with your sons. It almost goes without saying that dads and sons don't get enough time together, and what would be better than to spend the time in the Word, in the mountains, along with some good fellowship with a couple hundred brothers in Christ from around the country. Guys, let's get our sons out of the house and back into God's grand creation. We'll turn off the electronic media, recharge in the Word, and renew relationships. And fill up your tank with some faith talks, encouragement for the battle, and a refocus on the centrality of God. This year, we're bringing Mike Snavely back, our best creationist speaker for fathers and sons. Bill Roach and yours truly also bringing some talks. Come on down to our annual Colorado Father-Son Retreat at Sky Ranch Camp in the heart of the Rocky Mountains, August 27th to the 30th. The price is only $229 for dads and $139 for sons right now. That includes all meals and board. It's 4 days of fellowship, teaching, and adventure, including a rifle shooting range, bowling, water slides, indoor racquetball court, world-class recreation center, rock climbing, and a whole lot more. For more information, check out ColoradoFatherSon.com. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com. Welcome back to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, Adam McManus also. Friends, today we're dealing with an issue that is near and dear. And friends, we're looking at an attack on religious liberties at the Supreme Court of the United States. American Christians have lost ground in abortion. 1973, Americans have lost ground when it comes to the homosexuality issue. Obergefell 2015 and Lawrence v. Texas, that's back in, 2003. And now religious liberties being attacked. And this may be one of the most significant Supreme Court cases in the history of this country in that it is putting the AOK on the persecution of Christian businesses. And indeed, this is probably the most significant step towards the persecution of Christians in this country, in the history of this country. So the Harris case of 2020 will go down into the history books, and we will add it to America in God's Providence as we continue to detail the anti-Christian, post-Christian attack on religious freedoms going on in this country. It was the 2020 Harris case in which the U.S. Supreme Court, by a vote of 6-3, now forbids employers from firing employees on the basis of a lifestyle of homosexuality or an attempt to change their gender appearance. And the ruling issued by, get this, Justice Neil Gorsuch redefined sex to include gender identity and sexual orientation. It was Gorsuch and Roberts of the Republican nominations that went for this case. And it began in Michigan. My understanding of the Harris case began in Michigan, where a funeral home, this was a Christian ministry, put the kibosh on a employee who showed up dressed the wrong way. Evidently, at one point, dressed as a man, comes back to work dressed as a woman. And this Christian ministry said, no, we can't do this. This does not reflect the values. This does not reflect the Christian worldview that we want to portray as a ministry. And the end result, of course, was that they were apparently brought to task by the state administration. And this case was taken to the Supreme Court, and they lost it at the U.S. Supreme Court level. The case was also defended by Alliance Defending Freedom. This would have been one of the a few cases that they've lost, or a few significant cases they've lost. And I would say this is a very significant step back for religious liberties in this country.
Harris Funeral Homes has been around in operation in Michigan now for more than 100 years. And they had a male employee who had become a manager who had worked well for 6 years, but then shows up one day in women's clothing. And it was in direct violation of the company's dress code of wearing sex-specific clothes for work. And it also, of course, is a direct opposition to science, the fact that he is a man, even though he's presenting himself as a woman, and human history, and, of course, the Word of God. But what the Supreme Court did in this 6-3 ruling with Samuel Alito, Clarence Thomas, and Brett Kavanaugh, the dissenting minority, the good guys, what it did was redefine and rewrite the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which had defined sex for very specific reasons, and that was to protect women in the marketplace, their ability to be paid the same wages as men and to be not be discriminated against in a whole realm of areas, including sports, athletics, teams, etc., not just in the workplace alone. But Gorsuch himself, I think, Kevin's interesting. He seems to understand his overreach, admitting that the people who drafted the Civil Rights Act of 1964, quote, might not have anticipated their work would lead to this particular result, end quote, of special transgender protections. This goes to the heart of what it means to be an American. If you want to start a business, you should have the right to hire and fire the people that you want to hire and fire. We're not talking about immutable, unchangeable characteristics like gender or ethnicity. We're talking about something like a lifestyle of sexual perversion or a lifestyle of wearing clothes of the opposite gender. These things are not what America's all about, but apparently America's getting redefined before our very eyes.
America has turned against God's law when it comes to private property. That's the eighth commandment. America has turned against God's law when it comes to the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. America has turned against God's law when it comes to the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder. They do murder hundreds of millions of babies over the years through the abuse of abortifacients and the surgical abortions and so forth and so on. America is breaking every one of God's commandments wholesale these days. And I don't believe Title VII was submitting itself to God's law, especially when it comes to private property rights. And of course, here again, they reinterpreted the word sex in Title VII, as you mentioned, just taking it to the next level. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled that businesses cannot fire somebody on the basis of transgendering or displaying other homosexual antics. And this is going to affect public schools and private schools. This is going to affect businesses. This is going to affect ministries. This is going to have a significant effect upon the future of Christians who hope to run ministries and businesses in the future. Also, significantly, this is Alliance Defending Freedom Vice President of Appellate Advocacy, John Bursch, who advocated for one of the defendants in the case. He was quoted, redefining sex to mean gender identity will create chaos and enormous unfairness for women and girls in athletics, women's shelters, and many other contexts. Civil rights laws that use the word sex were put in place to protect equal opportunities for women. Allowing a court or government bureaucrats to define a term with such a clear and important meaning undermines those very opportunities, the ones the law was designed to protect. So the chaos that will result from abandoning God's law at almost every single point is hard to imagine how bad it's going to be. It's just, it seems to me this is going to bring about lawsuits everywhere. This is going to bring about a dissolution of the Scouts, a dissolution of sports, a dissolution of schools, a dissolution of many, many American institutions. This could be the beginning of the end of America. Friends, you get to the point that you run a nation on gross autonomy, gross anarchy, as is being foisted by the U.S. Supreme Court, you're not looking at sustaining this nation much longer. I can't imagine this nation surviving for another 10 to 20 years. I simply can't see a nation surviving given this level of anarchy that is being advocated by the U.S. Supreme Court.
You said at the beginning of the program, this is a good news, bad news program. And let me tell you the good news. Justice Alito pointed to this in his dissent. He noted that the legislation to incorporate sexual preference into Title VII, as well as gender identity and transgenderism, for 45 years, it has not passed. For 45 years, none of it has passed. None of it's been incorporated into law. That's the good news. The bad news is that six unelected judges decided to usurp the legislative process and insert these so-called protections that the American people, time after time, did not institute. And I think that's revealing, don't you?
Isn't that what the Supreme Court did with Roe v. Wade? Isn't that what they did with Lawrence v. Texas? Isn't that what they did with Obergefell? This is what the Supreme Court has been doing since the 1960s, since the Warren Court threw prayer out of the public schools in 1962. This is what the U.S. Supreme Court's been doing. And there hasn't been much quelling of this satanic influence upon the United States. You know, it's interesting the Supreme Court is doing it. It turns out that the appointments made by Republicans tends to be about a 50-50. Or in the case of Ronald Reagan, a 67%, 33%, 67% bad, 33% good. It was Ronald Reagan who gave us Kennedy. It was Ronald Reagan who gave us Sandra Day O'Connor. It was George W. Bush who gave us the Chief Justice Roberts. It was Donald Trump who gave us Neil Gorsuch. And when Neil Gorsuch was appointed or was nominated and the nomination discussions were happening in front of the U.S. Senate, we addressed that as the Generations Radio broadcast. Of course, you know, I doubt if many of the Republican senators are listening to my broadcast, but we warned them that Neil Gorsuch was an active member in one of the worst churches, one of the most pro-homosexual churches in the state of Colorado, the Episcopal Church in Boulder. Yeah, I can't think of a worst possible religious organization or a more liberal church in the state of Colorado than the Episcopal Church in Boulder. That's got to be a pretty much the bottom of the barrel, except maybe perhaps the Satanic Church of San Francisco. That might be a little worse.
Yeah, that might be to the left. Yeah. And I know where you're coming from, because I grew up in the Episcopal Church, one of the few evangelical, Bible-believing, even charismatic St. Paul's Church in Darien, Connecticut, with Pastor Terry Fulham. We were definitely very much aligned with the Bible and not wholly much aligned with the Episcopal Church itself. But I'll tell you some other good news here, Kevin, and that is what Senator Josh Hawley, Republican from Missouri, said. He said, unlike Obergefell and same-sex homosexual marriage, the good news is that this decision, the 63 decision that just came down, with Neil Gorsuch writing it, rewriting the 1964 Civil Rights Act to include sexual orientation, to include transgenderism in the Civil Rights Act, is not a constitutional question. Now, this is very important for people to understand. Monday's ruling was on a statute and a statute change. This is the quote from Hawley, who is an attorney, and I believe he's the former attorney general for Missouri. He said, the court is legislating what they think is good policy. It is not their role. The right answer is over to Congress to do something about it. So the good news is this is not a constitutional question, but obviously it's throwing a lot of sand in the gears, and it's going to cause a lot of problems for Christians, Christian businesses, Christian organizations. You know, we were going to have a fight on our hands one way or the other, but it sure would have been nice if the majority had sided the other way.
Well, and the bad news is it's doubtful a gutless Congress would have the courage to stand up against the homosexual lobby and offend them in any way, shape, or form to protect Christian businesses. I mean, they might happen, but at this point, it doesn't seem the snowflakes on the Republican side in Congress are going to do hide nor hair for this. Friends, your businesses, your workplaces, your restaurants, your funeral homes, your schools are going to be transgendered and homosexualized. That's the direction that we're going here. Yeah, this is chaos. This is disruption. This is the sexualization of the workplace. And these are the sorts of things that destroy civilizations. No question about it. You toss transgendering into the schools. You put transgendering into the Christian schools. You put transgendering into the Christian funeral homes. You put transgendering and homosexualization into the businesses, the ministries, and the schools of this country. You're talking about major chaos, major disruptions. As you sexualize everything, as you sexualize the workplace, you sexualize the schools, you're talking about this kind of stuff that destroys civilizations. I can't imagine that this country can survive another 20 years of this.
Did you see what Tony Perkins said? He called this decision a cultural IED, and an improvised explosive device. And I think that's a fascinating phrase, that this Supreme Court decision is a cultural IED, or improvised explosive device. That's exactly what you've just described.
And friends, it's John Roberts. Friends, it's Neil Gorsuch. John Roberts has become the new Kennedy. He's a turncoat. He's joined the dark side. He took the wrong side on Obamacare. That was back in, 2010 or something like that. Took the wrong side on the Hawaii B&B case, persecuting a Christian owner of a Hawaii B&B. This was last year. He took the wrong side on the Indiana abortion law. He took the wrong side on shutting down churches in California a month ago. And he took the wrong side on persecuting Christian businesses when it comes to transgendered employees. And I think he's going to take the wrong side on the Denver baker, the photographer, and the candlestick maker, too. I don't think Christian liberties in this country has a shot unless we get at least two more Supreme Court appointees, because, friends, this was a 6-3. This is Gorsuch and Roberts taking the pro-homosexual side to persecute the living daylights out of Christians, Christian business owners, Christian schools, Christian pastors, Christian ministries in the years to come. We're going to need two more decent, God-fearing, courageous Supreme Court justices nominated by a fairly conservative president to make this thing work. And that will only happen by the grace of God.
Well, I would say this, that I'm sure glad that Hillary Clinton is not president, because we know it would not have been a toss-up at all. Both of the Supreme Court justices would be Ruth Bader Ginsburg clones instead of Brett Kavanaugh and Neil Gorsuch.
Well, unless she got saved. What if she gets saved in office as opposed to Gorsuch and Roberts apostatizing? See, here's the problem. You appoint somebody, they apostatize. You know, it's a crapshoot these days. You don't know what you're going to get. If you're electing guys who don't fear God, you have no idea right. what you're going to wind up with. And friends, we got a 6-3 we're dealing with now. We used to have a 5-4. Now we're dealing with a 6-3 after Trump and George W. Bush's appointees. This isn't helping any. This isn't helping any. I think the solution is to get politicians in place, presidents in place, who you know for sure fear God. They're humble. They're fearing God. And if we elect presidents, governors, congressmen, senators who we know, prima facie, fear God, then I think we've got a shot for the future of this nation. I think that's the takeaway on this one. By the way, let me add this. This abolition of private property and this requirement that the governments control private property, private businesses, and who they hire and who they fire is a violation of the laws of God. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 13. He's talking to the guys who were paid for 1 hour versus the guys who were paid for 8 hours. He answered one of them and said, "Friends, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to the last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, the first will be last, for many are called, but few are chosen." There, our Lord Jesus Christ, the essence of all wisdom, the essence of all that is just, all that is right, the very source of ethics himself, gives us the rule that deals with guys who hire and fire and hiring quotas, as well as those issues relating to how much you're going to pay, minimum wage laws and all the rest. Jesus presents here the right of a private business owner to determine that amount he's going to pay, as long as it's agreed upon with those who he's hiring. That man has the right to do what he wish with his own things, with his own capital. And that, I know, is an offense to those who maintain a Marxist perspective that governments can control who hires, who fires. Governments can control how much he pays his employees. Governments can control his hiring quotas of this person or that person. Jesus turns to those Marxists and he says, "Hey, wait a minute. That guy has got a right to do what he wants with his own capital." Friends, that's the word of Jesus. And that stands against the Marxists. That stands against those who are insistent upon imposing regulations upon private business owners, as well as hiring quotas and all the rest. So, friends, I'm telling you, it's time to reverse these laws that are impinging upon private property ownership and the regulation of private businesses. We have got to begin to take a stand on this, not just on the Fifth Commandment, Sixth Commandment, Seventh Commandment. Let's go for the Eighth Commandment as well. Let's maintain a biblical standard when it comes to governments, when it comes to whether governments can confiscate property, whether governments can tax us to the umpteenth degree, whether governments can regulate private business owners to the extent that they do today. We've got to take a stand on this. And I think the other takeaway is that we really need to teach the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, and the fear of God as essential for those who will take position in government.
I'd like to cite what Franklin Graham said on the case, because I think it is instructive. He said, "The Supreme Court enacted a new law that adds sexual orientation and gender identity to the 1964 Civil Rights Act as so-called protected classes. As Justice Alito has pointed out, the majority went too far. He called it a brazen abuse of our authority. The Supreme Court exists to interpret the law, not to make new laws. Making laws is the job of our representatives in Congress, elected by the people. I believe," says Franklin Graham, "this decision erodes religious freedoms across this country. People of sincere faith who stand on God's word as their foundation for life should never be forced by the government to compromise their religious beliefs. Christian organizations should never be forced to hire people who do not align with their biblical beliefs, and should not be prevented from terminating a person whose lifestyle and beliefs undermine the ministry's purpose and goals. As a Bible-believing follower of Jesus Christ, says Franklin Graham, my rights should be protected. Even if my sincerely held religious beliefs might be the minority, I still have a right to hold them. The same holds true for a Christian organization. These are the freedoms our nation was founded on. The Supreme Court does not override and will never overturn the Word of God. We know that one day we will all have to stand before God, the righteous judge, whose decisions are not based on politics or the whims of culture. His laws are true and are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Friends, it's a brazen abuse. As we've just heard, it's a brazen abuse of religious freedoms. It's a brazen abuse of biblical sexual laws. And it's a brazen abuse of private property laws as given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ on the authority of the Word of God itself. Matthew 20:15. This is a brazen abuse of just about every single commandment of God. And it came from the Supreme Court of the United States. Hey, as we just heard, we're not requiring people to hire Christians. We're not requiring private businesses to hire Christians. We're not requiring bakers to print Bible verses on cakes, or we'll take them to a local civil rights commission if they don't. We're not requiring Christians to do the photography for certain weddings. And if certain homosexuals don't want to do photography for my wedding, then they don't need to do that. They can turn down my business if they want to. If you've got a pro-homosexual hotel that doesn't want me to stop at the hotel on a Friday night because I'm tired and I've got to pull over and I need a place to stay for the night, and that homosexual-owned hotel says no way because I'm a Christian, that's his perfect right to do that. Why? Because he has rights for doing what he will with his own property, with his own capital, as Jesus tells us here in Matthew 20:15. We need to respect private property rights. We need to respect biblical sexual laws, and we need to respect religious freedoms as well. So we're just applying God's law to particular situations here on the Generations Radio broadcast today. Be sure that you're rooting and grounding your children in a right perspective of these issues. We address these things throughout our book, America and God's Providence. We apply God's law, God's principles. We bring biblical verses to bear on the various issues that come up throughout American history, all the way through the early attempts to bring social programs into America, all the way through the civil rights laws, through the imposing of segregation laws in the 1880s and 1890s. What does the Word of God say about segregation laws? We bring that out in our book, America and God's Providence. So friends, be sure that your children have a biblical reason for taking one side or the other on issues like civil rights laws, segregation laws, and all the other issues that come up throughout American history. Be sure your children are prepared. They can apply biblical law, biblical interpretations of what is just and what is unjust, what is right and what is wrong, as communicated to us through the laws of God. Otherwise, you can't stand on anything but human tradition, and human tradition comes and goes with the whims of each additional generation. So let's be sure that our children are rooted and grounded on a biblical worldview. They're rooted and grounded on biblical law, and they know how to apply it throughout American history. That's why America and God's Providence, our biblical worldview history course, available at our website, generations.org, or kevinswanson.com, is all part of the Christian discipleship curriculum presented by the Generations Ministry. And we have everything from 5th grade through 12th grade, reading, literature, science, and history available at our website, generations.org. Check it out today. Our Christian discipleship curriculum, along with America and God's Providence, at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.